It's a lot of people dinnering tonight. It's that time of the year. Soon we'll start chasanas full force. Shabbos morning, I mentioned the notion, which ultimately stems from the Rambam. But the Meshech Chochma said that Shabbos and Yom Tov are distinct in the way in which they unite Klal Yisrael. And we'll start from Yom Tov and then we'll go to Shabbos, because that'll be the easiest way to follow. And Yom Tov, the Halacha allows Eichel Nefesh, allows Eitzah. The Meshech Chochma quotes a svar, which ultimately stems from the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim, I think Chelek Gimel, Perek Lamed Gimel. And the Rambam writes that one of the purposes of Yom Tov is to increase the social cohesiveness of Klal Yisrael. The regish of Am Echad, one people, the brotherhood of Klal Yisrael. So he says, to that end, the Torah allowed Eichel Nefesh and Hitzol. Because with those two things in place, we maximize the possibility of social interaction. If I meet you on Yom Tov and I didn't expect you, I say, come over to my house, but I don't have food prepared. No problem, I'll cook the food on Yom Tov. I'll put up another chicken, another roast beef. If I don't have one, so we'll knock on my neighbor's door. Listen, give me a chicken and a roast beef. If the Yom Tov, I'll settle up with you. I have unexpected guests. So Yom Tov, we maximize the social interaction of Klal Yisrael. The Rambam says this is one of the reasons that the Rabbeinu Shlom gave us Yom Tov. Shabbos, on the other hand, we're limited. Mishu Toroch be'erev Shabbos is Yochel b'Shabbos. If I meet you and your family of five, and I didn't prepare for you, and I don't have an abundance of food, what can I do? I'm going to invite you over to give you what? A piece of challah with some soda. I have to tell you, listen, next time you're around, I'll invite you. I'll know in advance. But what can I do? I can't cook, and I can't bring food from someone else for you. So, Shabbos, he says, what unites us is the common focus on the Rabbeinu Shalom. All of us in our own individual sphere are focused on the Rabbeinu Shalom, on the notion that he's the one that created the world. So that's what unites us. So the notion of the Ochel Nefesh and Hilchos Yom Tov is not just an unusual facet of Yom Tov. It relates, as Ramiya Simple explains it according to the Rambam, to the very essence of what Yom Tov is. Yom Tov is multifaceted. In Yom Tov is a certain closeness with the Rabbeinu Shalom. We celebrate the Nisim that the Rabbeinu Shalom did for us. It's a time for Hallel, Haidah, on what we have. Karbonos and Tfilos for the Osid. So it's an interface with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the Re'iyah and the Beis HaMikdash. We come, as it were, to meet the Shechina. Lirois v'lirois, as the Gemara says in Chagiga. And that's one level, and a very important level of Yom Tov. But the unity of Klal Yisrael is also a major facet of Yom Tov. A whole year, there are cattle ranches in Eifer HaYarden. farmers in the Galil. Zvulun, a merchant class of people that lives on the sea, travels the world. The lifestyles are very different. And then you have the Yid that lives in Yerushalayim. Davin's kiva seeking in the Beis HaMikdash every day. Sees the Nisim, the Asara Nisim in the Beis HaMikdash on a daily basis. All of them are very decided to be different than one another. The merchant says, what do I have to do with cattle ranches, with peasants? I'm a merchant, man of the world. I travel the seas, I import, I export. It's nothing to do with the soil and the animals. That's, you know, the farmer, what does he have to do with the Yid in Yerushalayim? What does the Yid in Yerushalayim have to do with any of them? So we can wind up in a situation where there's nothing which unites us. It's the common ground which makes us a people. And the Aliyah LeRegel served that function. We all came together in Yerushalayim to serve, to worship in the same Beis HaMikdash. Right? We have a notion of it, what it was. You can see if you go to the Kaisel, you go to Meiron today. Right. You go in any city, so there's a Sephardi shul, an Ashkenazi shul, and 10 different types of Ashkenazi shuls, and 10 different types of Sephardi shuls, and a Taimani shul. And everyone davens with their own type. Go to the coastal, they go to Meron, it's all bottle. Everybody davens together. One guy has a shtreimel, one guy has a kreisel to pay as a satma, the next guy is in army uniform, the next guy is brachi with a kippah sruga, the next guy is a litvak, a taimoni, all plunked in 1 million, everybody davens together. All the divisions are bottle. Come to the Beis HaMikdash. This guy's a farmer, he's a cattle rancher, he's a merchant, he's a Yira Talmud Chochum. We're all together. We united as one, the Regish, the one people. Right? There's a very interesting episode at the end of Sefer Yoshua. A report comes to Yoshua that the Shvatim and Eivor HaYarden have built a Mishkan. So what that augurs a secession. Basically, listen, they don't need the Mishkan that we have here. They're going to make their own Mishkan and then their own religious center, and that's it. They're breaking away. They'll say, that's it. You people on one side of the yard, they're your country, and we're our own country. So they decided, you know, it's same problem Abe Lincoln had a few thousand years later. You know, going to be a secession. Okay, we raise an army and we're going to put it down. We're going to put an end to this. So before they went to war, so there was some level-headed people, and they interjected themselves into the process, and they said, listen, before we open the warfare, you ought to send a few diplomats down there and see what's going on. Speak to them. Find out, you know, if these reports have merit or not, you know, what it's all about. Let's see what they have to say. And the Rambam notes from this, this is a very important lesson. Before we spring into action, let's be sure that we're supposed to spring into action. So they sent Shluchim to Eivor HaYarden, and as the Rambam explains the parsha, they demonstrate to them that this Mishkan could not even be used. You can't utilize it. It's constructed in a fashion that it's an icon. It's merely a symbol, a symbolic representation of the Mishkan, which was in Eretz Yisrael. And they said, why did we make this? For the exact opposite reason than they were choshed them. We were concerned. We lived so far away. So you could travel. Can you imagine to travel from Eivor HaYarden all the way to Yerushalayim and back? So in those days, it was a daunting challenge. It's not like today, in 3 hours, you can go through half of Eretz Yisrael. So a matter of days, many days' journey to go there and back. So how often are we going to come to the center of Eretz Yisrael, to come to the Mishkan? So we were afraid that we would lose connection. with the rest of Klal Yisrael, because we live so far out. So we decided what we have to do is to make a symbolic representation of the Mishkan, which was not in a fashion that which could actually be used for Kabbonis. It was not useful for Kabbonis. It was merely a representation. Was merely a representation, a symbol of the Mishkan. So we should remember our connection with the rest of Klal Yisrael. So that was it. They didn't have a war. But the Mishkan is the unifying factor in Klal Yisrael. That's what brings us together. That's what makes us one people. The Maral of Prague, it's something we take for granted, we're so used to it, but the Achronim did not believe that to be the Pshat. The Gaon Yuma says in Taftes Amud Beis that Mikdash Rishon was destroyed because Gili Araya Shvichas Dom and Avodah Zor. Mikdash Shei because of Sinas Chinam. Now we think, well, Sinas Chinam destroyed the Mikdash. The Maral of Prague and the Chasam Sofer both question that. They feel that Sinas Chinam is certainly a chet, but that it should be that grave to destroy the base of Mikdash doesn't cut it. So the Chasam Sofer learns that in Bayis Sheni they were guilty also of severe chatah, grave chatah, just as in Bayis Rishon. But in Bayis Rishon they didn't do tshuva. In Bayis Sheni they did tshuva. So the Shaila, so why didn't they get saved? So he has a whole, he's medayik in the last Mishnah in Yuma, the Chasam Sofer, that in the process of tshuva, the first step has to come from the Rabbeinu Shalom. There has to be a special ruach memoriam, a special kedusha that the Rabbeinu Shalom gives us, which allows us to do tshuva. And without that, we will never succeed in doing tshuva. So the shaila of the Shas was, they did tshuva, so obviously the tshuva didn't work. So what happened? The shaila is because they were guilty of sinas chinam, the Rabbeinu Shalom did not give them the first step that he has to, for his input, which allows the process of tshuva to take place. That's the Chasam Sofer. The Maral of Prague says a pshat which is germane to what we're talking about tonight. The Maral of Prague says, the Gemara also says in Yuma, that what were the differences between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni? The Shechina was not present in the same manner, fashion in Bayis Sheni. The Aron wasn't there. He says, what was the Mikdash Rishon was to bring us close to the Rabbeinu Shalom. That was its tachlis. When we got involved in Avodah Zorah and Sevir Chatom, we broke the connection with the Rabbeinu Shalom, so the Mikdash was destroyed. Mikdash Sheni had a different role. It didn't have the Kedusha of Mikdash Rishon. Its principal function was to unite Klal Yisrael. It's Am Hashem, to unite us. When we got involved in Sinas Chinam, so what's the point of the Beis HaMikdash? The whole point of the Beis HaMikdash was to overcome the pettiness and the divisiveness. If you're going to be so parochial with the Beis HaMikdash, so be parochial without the Beis HaMikdash. So that's how Sinas Chinam destroyed Mikdash Sheni. Because it undermined the tachlis of Bayis Sheni. That's what the Maral of Prague writes. So that's exactly the point that we're making. The Mikdash was to create the unity of Klal Yisrael. That's what it was there for. And when they could not bring themselves to be unified, so they destroyed, they undermined the tachlis of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Rosh said, if that's the case, we need the Beis HaMikdash. So that brought down the Mikdash. So this notion of the unity of Klal Yisrael, you have Yerovam ben Nevot. One of the things, right? Yerovam ben Nevot was a principal actor in the creation of Malchus Yisrael. One of the things they did in Malchus Yisrael, they did not allow people to go to the Beis HaMikdash for the Aliyah L'Regel. And we could say a number of different reasons for it, and they're all true. One is, and they were steeply steeped in Avodah Zarah. So they didn't want people going to the Beis HaMikdash to worship the Rabbeinu Shalom. But it goes beyond that, we find it in the Mefarshim. There's two more steps to it. there's a step that Yerovam ben Nevat did not want to come to the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because there's a halacha that only the kings, the Malchei Beis David, are allowed to sit in the Azor. No one else is allowed to sit in the Azor. So now he's going to come. So now he's going to have the devil's choice. If the descendants of Dovid HaMelech, Rehoboam, whatever, sit in the Beis HaMikdash, so now what's he going to do? If he stands, so he's admitting b'fnei Am Ve'eidah that this is the Malchus, and I'm not doing that, this is, I don't represent the Malchus. Elamai will sit down, he's going to violate the Halacha. He knew full well the Halacha, and he didn't want to violate it. So what did he do? So he put a stop to coming. Nobody should come to the Beis HaMikdash. So this situation, he won't wind up in this quandary. But there's yet a third reason we find in the Mefarshim. And that is, if all of Klal Yisrael comes to the Beis HaMikdash, so then what are we doing Malchus Yisrael for? What are we splitting two kingdoms for? If we're all worshipping in the same Beis HaMikdash, hey buddy, we're brothers. What's this all about? It's nonsense. So if Yerovam and Nevat wanted to perpetuate Malchus Yisrael, he had to prevent them from going to the Beis HaMikdash, because this would have undermined his entire movement. The social cohesiveness of Klal Yisrael. You know, that's one of the things we struggle with, right? And that's the symbol. The symbol, as I pointed out, Shabbos, it's the simple meaning of what we say in the Birchas HaChodesh, right? In the Birchas HaChodesh, we have a phrase, "Mekabitzin dochenem be'arba kanvoy asoretz, chaverim ko Yisrael v'nam aramei." The simple pshat is, that all these different type of people, we're all involved in every culture in the world, are going to come together, and we're going to find the commonality that we're one people. Right? Something we struggle with in Eretz Yisrael greatly. We have Sfardim and Ashkenazim, and every Eidah of Ashkenazim, and every Eidah of Sfardim, to produce a unity among the people. So what we ask the Rabbeinu Shalom, in the simple terms of what we're saying, we should come to a state that we actually feel that we're one people. You know, all the antecedents should be forgotten, but the antecedents should be that we all came from Eretz Yisrael and we're all back in Eretz Yisrael. Whatever baggage we picked up along the way is peripheral. It's the simplest meaning of Chaverim Kol Yisrael. Shabbos, he mentioned another one. That to preserve the Torah of the Beis HaMikdash, right, the whole Perek Chaimer B'Kodesh, is they made all types of rabbinic enactments of special chumras to protect the Kedushas HaMikdash and Kochim. So, to that extent, just as we find by Trumas and Maisers, there was a chover for Truma and Tyra too. Truma and Tyra. That he was a person that was learned and meticulous in his observance of Truma and Tyra. He was also a chover. So if a person was a chover, he had freer access in the Beis HaMikdash than the unlettered. Because the learned and meticulous person would be careful not to be metami to Beis HaMikdash. Whereas the unlettered person, what did he know? I asked my Talmidim today a shayla. I'll ask you the same shayla. What percentage of the Mishnayos is in Seder Tyrus? Right? There are six storms, so what percentage is in Seder Tyrus? Is there approximately somewhere, I don't know, a little more than 4,000 Mishnayos. I don't remember exactly the number, but somewhere a little over 4,000. And there are somewhere, I think, 1,000, 1,100 Mishnayos in Tyrus. One quarter of the Mishnayos are Tyrus. And a difficult limud. When the Gemara wants to give an example, who was the greatest Maaretz Torah of all time? Chizkiyahu HaMelech was the greatest Maaretz Torah in Jewish history. So it says in his time, they went from Don Vad Beersheva, and it was called every Tinok v'Tinoikis. Children were masters of Seder Tyrus. They knew all the halachas. They knew everything they're supposed to do. So a person that's not learned, so this is going to be Metamed Migdash. So normally he was restricted. When it came, the Gemara says in Chagigas, and Chagiga needed a Gemara. When it came time for the Sholosh Regalim, there everybody was allowed in, equal access. I presume the Cheshbon is, if you command me to come, how could you treat me as a second-class citizen? I show up on my own, okay, whatever, I get what I get. But if I'm commanded to come, and I'm going to come and I'm going to be treated as a second-class citizen, it doesn't go too well. It's not going to lend to social harmony in Klal Yisrael. So the Chachamim decided to suspend these gzeiros, these takonos, for the times of the regalim. And an amaretz who wasn't a chaver was also treated. That's chaverim kol Yisrael. The Gemara uses that phrase. Everyone has a din chaver, as if he's learned and meticulous. So why? Because then everyone feels we're all part of the same team. After the Yom Tovim, what do? They threw everything into the mikveh. Because they figured, listen, probably some shlemazel went and touched something who was telling me it wasn't supposed to, you know. So the odds on, so therefore we're going to throw everything into the mikveh. The Tovim, all the kelim after the Yom Tovim, everything. So this was a notion that's really where the phrase comes from, Chaverim Kol Yisrael, everyone has a chover. It was in Shas, it had been Makabal Chaverus, you had to accept upon yourself that you're going to live at this level. So, when it came to Yontif, everyone had the status of a chover. Chazal's concern for the cohesiveness of Klal Yisrael. There is another halacha the Rambam talks about, and the Rambam is very, very strong about this. We know that on Pesach we have the most chitim, so everyone knows that before Yontif we're expected, you know, to give tzedakah, to support the impoverished, to help them make Yontif. But in the halacha we find that it's equally important. It's important before every chag to give tzedakah to help the aniyim for Yontif. It's not limited to Pesach. Pesach apparently is much greater need. Now just stop and think that there are how many days of Yontif there are, and all the enormous expenses that have to do with Yontif, and the matzah and the wine and everything else that you have to have. So it's daunting. So it's brought when we show me that it's a minhag kodem, it's a very ancient minhag, the most chitim. The daiti, but that's for another time, it hocks all the way back to Mitzrayim itself. But that's a shmuz for a different day at a different time. So in that context, so the Torah obligated us to care for our brethren. So the Rambam writes, the Rambam is very, very sharp. The Rambam says in Hilchos Yontif that if a person closes his gates and locks out the aniyim, and he sits down to celebrate behind his locked gates, so he says this is not a simcha of the Rabbeinu Shalom, it's simcha sakaris. It's a base celebration. It's a celebration of a physicality, that's all. There's no connection with the Rabbeinu Shalom. So the Shaila is, on what basis did the Rambam say such a thing? I can certainly postulate that this guy is celebrating the Shem Shemayim, except he's cheap. You know, there are people that don't know how to spend money. And certainly not on others. Some people don't even know how to spend money on themselves. So there are guys, people that know how to spend money on themselves. When it comes to the rest of the world, they're cheap. So why does the Rambam make such a point that this cannot be a celebration with the Rabbeinu Shalom. It's a base celebration. On what basis? What's the pshat in the Rambam? So I thought the pshat in the Rambam is that when I celebrate Yom Tov, I have to say, see, listen, if my brother doesn't have what to eat, am I going to celebrate Yom Tov and not see that he has to eat? So before Yom Tov, we could talk to make sure my brother has what he needs. If we would truly include the Rabbeinu Shel Olam in our celebration of Yom Tov, then we would inevitably be stuck with one problem. Would my father be pleased with me if I didn't take care of my brother? You know, I'm a wealthy guy. I made $100 million. I made some good investments at the right time, the right place. I have $100 million to my name. My brother's a schlamazel. He can't put two nickels together. He never has a dime in his pocket. And I've known such people in life. They cannot succeed in putting two nickels together to have a dime. It's a geitnisht. But he has a brother that's worth $100 million. So, you think the father will be pleased if the one that has $100 million to his name doesn't see that at least his schlamazel brother has his basic needs taken care of? The father says, if you have any connection to me, then how could you not care about the fact that my child, it's your brother, but my child is suffering? So the Rambam says, if you don't make that connection, that means you're not connected to the Rabbeinu. If you connect with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, then you would have to be sensitive to the fact that the Bonim Atam L'Hashem Elokecha, he is a ben of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. How could you not take care of him? So it must be, the Rambam says, they didn't connect with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. You connected with your physical self. You know, there's a famous maaseh with the Kotzker Rebbe. The Kotzker Rebbe came to the house of a big veer, lavish, many, many courses, meals. And each time they brought out a course, before they started to eat, they said the shame Kedusha Shabbos. So the Kotzko saw this go on once, twice, the third time portion that they brought out, the Kotzko screamed out, L'shem mein boich, shame my stomach. So the Gvir says to the Kotzker, Rebbe, it's in a chain, it's not nice to say such a thing. So the Kotzker said, you're right. He says, but at least it's true. Zukta Ramam, if you're connected with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, you couldn't forget one of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's children. If you're not interested in the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's children, that means you're not connected with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. So then your celebration is base. It's L'shem Yoboich. That's all it is. That notion, the unity, the connection of Klal Yisrael, that's a very, very major part, a significant part of Yom Tov, to feel that. The halachas, as mentioned from Rameh Simcha, were formulated in that fashion to allow us to maximize the social impact that we could have. Torah writes in Parshas Bo'i, one sentence, but that sentence is packed. Torah Shabbat Peh goes to work, town on this sentence. Ach asher yei ochel l'chol nefesh, hu levado yei oseh l'chem. Melacha we're not supposed to do on Yom Tov, but that which is for the sake of ochel nefesh, hu levado yei oseh l'chem. So we have, in fact, in the Mishnah, in Bayon, Daf Yud Beis Amar Aleph, Amachloikas B'Shamay and B'Silo. B'Shamay says, if you want to carry for other purposes other than Ochel Nefesh, you want to carry a Sefer Torah, other things, even a Dvar Mitzvah, but there's no heter for it on Yom Tov, whatever it may be. Why? Ochel Nefesh is mutter. Is it Sefer Torah Ochel Nefesh? No. So that's it. So it's not mutter. It's not Ochel Nefesh. You can't carry a Sefer Torah. B'Shilo says that it's mutter. Yeah. If we start off, we should assume, in this machlok, because B'Shamay is right. B'Shamay cited scriptures of a furish apostle in the Torah. There has to be Eichel Nefesh. So where did Beis Hillel come from to say that it's mutter? Anything more than what's mafurish in the Torah? So the Shas tells us that Beis Hillel has a principle. Mitoich, that since something is mutter for Eichel Nefesh, it's mutter for all other yontif needs as well. What the source of this is, it's to me a dvar pella that Shas does not tell us the source. Mamash a pella. I mean, you're articulating a svar which is inconsistent with the simple meaning of a pasuk, and you don't tell me why in Shas you made the, how you came to this decision. To me, it's mamash a dvar pella. And yeah, there are a few different shitas of exactly what mitoch is, but if you want to find the least in Rishonim where they talk about this, so on the Zion Amar Aleph and Ksuvas, where the Gemara mentions mitoch, the Shitim Kumbetz brings a couple of mahalchim to explain where mitoch came from. What's the basis for Beis Hillel to assume this? One is more understandable than others, but the Rishonim explored where this concept came from. That Shas did not articulate it to me is mind-boggling. I can't understand it. Be'echet Teisi. A core principle, which is halacha l'maisa, we pass, it's not Shitas B'Shama. Okay, Shitas B'Shama we didn't explore. All right. But this is Shitas Beis Hillel. This is the real Wakoi. This is the halacha in the sense, this is the halacha l'maisa. So why don't you explore in Shas? I don't know. I have no understanding of it. To me, it's... You know, I was happy to find the Rishonim at least that addressed the issue head on. But Mehecha Teisi. Al Kopanim, so that's Beis Hillel Shita. There's a din of Mitoch. So we're not only limited to Eichel Nefesh, but there's a more general heter of Mitoch. The problem is that we don't find a clear understanding of this principle either. The Pnei Yoshua, I believe, Adaf Yudalad in Be'er struggles with this problem. It's a very beautiful pshat. Because we find, for example, that Kibui, putting out a fire, so the Gemara says, it's mutter, I can take a steak and put it right on the coals and roast it. Bisra gumre is mutter. It inevitably extinguishes the coals to some extent, because if you put it right on, you smother them to some extent. But it's eichel nefesh, it's mutter. Okay. So you just told me a principle. So what happens if there's a fire on Yontif? So I should be able to put it out. The only heter to put out a fire if it's going to burn up my food or it's pikuach nefesh. But if it's going to do neither of those two, I'm not allowed to put out a fire. It's a din. So frek the prayer shul me'echa teisi. Why should that be? If you told me kibu is mutu l'tzarech ochel nefesh, so invoke mitoch. So what happened? So the Pnei Yeshua puts forth a very, very interesting idea. He says there are malachos which he would call ochel nefesh malachos, and there are malachos which are non-ochel nefesh malachos. A malacha which is involved, we're not dealing with aitzah, other than aitzah, but a malacha which principally is involved, is a principal factor which you would identify as a major factor in ochel nefesh, that's mutter. A component of malacha, which is not generally an ochel nefesh malacha. You happen to dig up some case that it can hit impact ochel nefesh. So for ochel nefesh, it's mutter, but there's no principle of mitoch. That's what the Pnei Yoshua articulates. So he says, Mameila kibui is not generally an ochel nefesh malacha. So it's not classified in the halacha in that fashion. So it's mutter l'gufei itself, but there's no din mitoch, there's no expansion on kibui. The Gemara lists all types of things where kibui is also in the Gemara and Be'er. Places that, you know, you have good reason that you would want to put out an eish. The truth is, one of the Gemaras is a kasha on the way to Welt learns, I think, to say for Achinuch. Right? They learn this 3-4 shittas. One of the shittas, I believe, if I recall correctly, that Dimri Moshe, or Moshe Sokolovsky, wrote a sefer, right, Melechus Yontov, on Masech Tebeya. A very lomdish sefer, as Imre Moshe, as those that know him from the Yeshivish Masech, this is a very lomdish sefer. Maybe he's the one that discusses it. But one of the approaches that they have to Oichol Nefesh is that the Indian of, what's the Indian of Mitoich? That Oichol Nefesh has a broader meaning. It's broader than just Oichol Nefesh in and of itself. I guess we'll probably give the same answer. Oh, no. It's broader than Oichol Nefesh. It's other needs, but they're not directly Oichol Nefesh. But it's a lesser form of Oichol Nefesh. Let's put it that way. It's a lesser form of Oichol Nefesh, but it's Oichol Nefesh. So Omeila is also subject to Mitoch. Now, you should find out then that it should be mutter. I mean, the Gemara talks about the fact that for one's intimate relationships, one's not allowed to put out an air on Yontif. So why should that be? I mean, why shouldn't that be also the nichlal in the definition of Oichol Nefesh? So you shouldn't need mitoch. But Alamai Weiss states that mitoch means an extension from the core Oichol Nefesh to other physical needs. That's why it's mitoch. It's not mamash oichol nefesh. I presume that's the pshat too. And it's not mamash oichol nefesh. It's a lesser form of oichol nefesh that you need mitoch. It's a sore. And that only applies in a situation if it's an oichol nefesh tikkun melacha. Something like that. I'll call upon him. So this is where we start in Hilchos Yontov. Hilchos Yontov is mysterious from the get-go. Because here we have this principle of mitoch, which seems to go against a pasuk, a mafurish pasuk in the Torah, and the Gemara doesn't even tell us where it comes from. So we know we're going to have a hard time with Hilchos Yontov. Hilchos Yontov is not going to be easy. So that's Acha Sheyei Ochel L'chol Nefesh. Sheyei Ochel L'chol Nefesh. Now, we could. What does the phrase kol nefesh mean? There's two ways we could look. Well, there's a simple pshat, I would think, what kol nefesh means. But the halacha does not interpret it that way, and we'll see why in a moment. We just read in this last week's parsha, right, what did it say? It said, maka nefesh behema yishalmena, or maka odom yumus. Right. So the Gemara refers to a behemoth is a nefesh. Nefesh. Okay, which is consistent really with the Kabbalah. The nefesh is really is the most physical, involved with the most physical part of man is the nefesh, as opposed to ruach and neshama. Okay. But behemoth is called nefesh. Maka nefesh behemoth yishalmena. Maka odom yumos. So why don't I learn pshat in the posuk Acha Sheyei Ochel L'chol Nefesh, meaning to say not only human needs, but kol nefesh, even the needs of a behema. That would certainly seem to be a good way to learn pshat in the posuk. But it doesn't work. Why? Because at the end of the posuk there's a word, hu levado ye yoseh. What's the word lechem? What do we need the word lechem for? Hu ye levado ye yoseh. That's what you shall do. What's the word lechem? So the Gemara brings two interpretations of Lochem, and the Shulchan Aruch, in fact, says they're not in contradiction, they're both true. The Gemara has a din, Lochem v'lo la'akum, that I cannot do malocha on Yomtu for a non-Jew. And from that we have a corollary in the halacha that ein mazmin an akum, one may not invite a non-Jew to a Yomtu meal if it's not on Shabbos. It's Oisa, it's brought in the Shulchan Aruch. Because we're afraid that I may come to cook for him on Yontif if I invite him. So that's one lochem, and then there's lochem v'loy l'klovim. Lochem meaning for you, the humans, and not for animals. So when I would dash in the word lochem to tell me that I can't do melocha for animals, So now I'm stuck again. Hadra kushi l'duchta. What does kol nefesh mean? The simple explanation of kol nefesh, that it means the behemoth is out. So what does kol nefesh mean? So here the Gemara in Ksuvis tells us another drosh on the words kol nefesh. That there has to be dover hashava l'chol nefesh, something which gives, supplies a universal human need. Okay? Now, the question is, we don't know, think that universal means exactly universal according to the halacha, but there's some question about it. It's certainly a very broad need, not a narrow need, not an eccentric need. So the Gemara says in Ksuvis that the burning of incense on Yontif is not mutter because of mitoch. Why? Because it's not trouble the whole nefesh. It's not the super widespread activity that millions and millions of people engage in. You know. Some people have this thing about incense. So it's not trouble the whole nefesh. So you can't do it on Yontif. So the Gemara then says, if that's the case, you should not be able to slaughter a deer on Yontif, because deer was for the wealthy people. It's interesting. We don't even like deer meat today, pretty much. And yet, historically, we know who were the ones that ate the deer. It was the nobility. Venison was for the nobility. The common man was not allowed to go near it. It was reserved for the nobility. So if that's the case, so we shouldn't be able to shech the deer on Yom Tov either. So the Gemara says, no, that's not true. In effect, the answer of the Gemara is that we all need to eat. Everybody eats. Okay? So one guy eats a potato, one guy eats a piece of chicken, and one guy eats venison. But we all need to eat. So eating is the universal need. We may have different tastes in what to eat, but all of us eat. So that's universal. But not everybody needs incense. So one of the things that's debated in the Rishonim and the Achronim is how about medicinal needs. Are medicinal needs considered trouble the whole nefesh or not? Halacha, Rabbi Yosef told me the halacha is Yibbutu Hamanim Rebina, based on a Ramban and based on a Yireyim, that it's not considered trouble the whole nefesh. You cannot do malachas for medicinal purposes, for unless the person is obviously a chadash yesh b'sakana, but we're not talking about that. So the Chai Odom in the Nishmas Odom brings a proof that it's not considered trouble the whole nefesh. The Gemara says in Sukkah that where we have another place where we need trouble the whole nefesh, and that's what we use Maisa Sheni for. We can't use Maisa Sheni for a need which is not trouble the whole nefesh. So the Gemara says, what's a case which is not trouble the whole nefesh? If you want to make a salve out of Maisa Sheni fruit, right, to ease, you know, whatever, you know, pain, whatever that you have in your hand, you're not allowed. It's awesome. The Gemara says, why? Because it's not trouble the whole nefesh. So the Chai Odom shows from there that a medicinal need is not considered trouble the whole nefesh. In other words, we could look at it to say, listen, every person gets sick sometimes, and most people get sick, and we all, health is something that we all need. So we're addressing a health issue. But apparently, since most people are healthy most of the time, so this is not trouble the whole nefesh. It's not an ongoing, common, universal human need. So this is the raya that the Nishmas Odom brings to this halacha.
If the folks cigarette smoke, you won't show the
volume?
When they're mad at you.
What did the Pnei Yeshua want to do in that piece? He wanted to say like this. The Pnei Yeshua wanted to say, people used to smoke after eating, because the held is relaxed them, and the relaxation was good for digestion. So he held, listen, everybody has to digest this food well. So you drink a glass of tea, one guy goes for a walk, and another guy takes a smoke. But that wasn't the smoking per se. The smoking aided, they relaxed the person so that he would digest his food properly. I think that's what it would have, if I recall correctly. If you look in the Pnei Yeshua inside, that's where the Pnei Yeshua was coming from. So, Mameila, it's a Mirishkan Afkamina, you know, it's the same as we mentioned before. One guy eats venison, the Gemara says in Ksuvis, and another guy eats potatoes, but everybody has to eat. So, I think that's the stance of where the Pnei Yeshua was coming from in that regard. It could be. It could be. There's another aspect. I don't know. It's the way he's, it could be the way he learns Pshat and Tosfos, I might be mistaken in that regard. Some certainly learned in the Pnei Yehoshua that he held, that Tosfos held, that a medicinal need is considered Shavu L'chol Nefesh. Yeah. So, except the Rishonim L'maisa, Rabbi Yosef told me, he said, Nui says, there is other Pshatim and Tosfos other than this Pshat, like learning this way. And even if you grant the Pnei Yehoshua to that extent, Pshat and Tosfos, even to such an extent, but he says, the Ramban and the Urayim both disagree with Tosfos, and it certainly would be the halacha anyhow.
Why would there be an issue before on the first day of
Toichain is a very mixed bag. I don't know if Toichain is, Toichain has, is an Oichom Nefesh Malocha, but it's very, very limited what you're allowed to do with Toichain. So that's probably the reason. It's not, we don't have a carte blanche. Most types, many types of Toichain are very limited on Yontif itself. But we're not dealing with Toichain, we're not dealing with the Gzeira. We're dealing with, you want to do a Malocha. That's a, can you cook? You want to cook herbs to make a medicine on them. Can you cook them? So that's the shaila. Is that considered? That's not the issue. You mean, why wouldn't it be? Maybe according to him it would be. I don't know.
Why would there be an Isser of Fu on the first day? Isn't there Isser of Fu on Yante or on Shabbos and Yante?
Yeah.
So if you're allowed to do Malacha for medicinal purposes
on Yante. So I don't know. You could learn that Toichan maybe doesn't have a din b'toichan, according to him, with all the limitations that the Shas placed on b'toichan. Some Rishonim hold the Rai Sadiq limitations, or Midrabbanan, so maybe it's not Shayach b'toichan that, according to him. I don't know, the question's a good question. He starts really, I think, with Toichan himself. That with the Mishnah that he's on has to do with Toichan. That there's no absolute b'toich by Toichan. If I recall correctly, that's where the Pnei Yehoshua was coming from the Mishnah which deals with Toichan.
The fact that more recently it's been, like, I guess, proven that smoking is more dangerous, that's not the reason that
it
treated as
Osir,
right?
Ramosha wrote a tshuva later on, and he's up and back on the subject. He said, on one hand, L'chaira, a thing which tons of people in the world will not do because they consider it unhealthy. How can you consider it Shavu L'chol Nefesh? On the other hand, he says it's something that millions of people do. How could he consider it not Shavu L'chol Nefesh? So his bottom line was that certainly he says Bal Nefesh Yachmer. You know, that was his conclusion. In other
yeah,
words,
Listen,
they didn't. Nobody understood. Nobody understood till well into the 20th century that it was dangerous to people.
Why does that matter? Why should that make a difference?
Because Mamela. Because Pshat is now millions and millions of people won't touch it, so.
So that takes away aspects of Shalom.
Yeah, that's what Ramosha wrote. As I say, it could be. I don't remember if I assume that's others assume that's for the Pnei Yehoshua. The Pnei Yehoshua just were held in Tok. According to Tosfos, that refuah is considered Shavu L'chol Nefesh. He might. I'm not sure. I don't remember that swara with the digestion. I don't remember if it's the Pnei Yehoshua itself or someone else spinning off the Pnei Yehoshua. What? That's the Korban Nisano swara. Oh, like.
He rails against it.
He brings that swara that it helps the digestion. So maybe that's the swara. The Pnei Yehoshua then is the one that holds that it's. That refuah is considered Shavu L'chol Nefesh. So now it's not refuah anymore. I'll call upon him. Abayisai, let's get ready for Ma'ariv.